From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 13th of May, 2009. There will be a picket line at the Food City supermarket on North Flowing Wells at Roger Road today between 3 and 6 p.m. The United Food and Commercial Workers has been attempting to unionize employees at the Food City stores in Tucson, but Bashas, the corporation that owns the Food City chain, has been firing employees who speak at UFCW rallies. It's up in the air whether those photos of prisoner abuse by American military personnel in Southwest Asia will actually be published by the Pentagon. Human rights groups consider the publishing to be essential, while President Obama is now opposing their release because it may trigger a backlash in Iraq and Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the family of Pat Tillman is furious that Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal, who played a role in the cover-up and misinforming of the Tillmans on what turned out to be his friendly fire death while on duty in Afghanistan, is apparently the Obama regime's choice to head military operations in Afghanistan. Says Pat Tillman Sr., "I do believe that guy participated in a falsified homicide investigation." The New York Times reports that a Pentagon probe into the junior Tillman's death in 2004 found McChrystal accountable for faulty information provided by Tillman's unit in recommending him for a Silver Star, particularly the initial misinformation falsely claiming that Tillman had been killed by Taliban fire. Mary Tillman says it is imperative that McChrystal's record be carefully studied before confirmation. The Chicago Tribune reports today that aides to the top Democrat and Republican members of the Senate Armed Services Committee are not aware of any opposition to McChrystal at this point. Defense Secretary Robert Gates hopes to have McChrystal confirmed by the end of May. The co-pilot of doomed Colgan Airlines Flight 3407, which killed all 49 aboard when it crashed into a house in a Buffalo suburb in February, was a sleep-deprived 24-year-old making $16,000 a year who bunked at her parents' house near Seattle, a cross-country commute from her home base airport of Newark, New Jersey, air safety officials said this morning. The second of 3 days of hearings focused on air crew fatigue and low pay as possible factors in airline accidents, with the lifestyle of co-pilot Rebecca Lynn Shaw offered up as a prime example. In testimony to Congress last February after the Colgan Air crash, U.S. Airways Captain Chelsea Sullenberger, the pilot of the Miracle on the Hudson flight last January, warned that poor pay was forcing good pilots to take second jobs. Sullenberger said that the best and brightest were turned away from flying as a career. Colgan's policy was that air crews should not attempt to commute to base on the day of work, but Shaw, who lived with her parents outside Seattle, arrived at her hub in Newark in the early morning hours of February the 12th after riding cockpit jump seats from Seattle to Memphis and then Newark. There is something moving its way through Congress called the Performance Rights Act, H.R. 848, which would call for radio stations to pay royalties to record companies when broadcasting music. It's really a recording industry ploy to bleed more money from the junk that they're marketing nowadays. Among other effects, it would immediately bankrupt a third of all minority-owned broadcasting companies in the United States, according to David Honig of the Minority Media and Telecommunications Council. It would also turn almost all American radio stations to talk-based formats overnight, meaning even more outlets for neo-fascist hate talk. Canadian broadcaster and record producer David Lennick points out that one Canadian company, Compo, instituted a ban on radio airplay of any sort of Decca, Apex, and Star Records product in that country during the 1940s, unless the radio station paid Compo a fee. This explains the extremely low occurrence of Canadian airplay of Bing Crosby, Decca's most popular performer, at the peak of his popularity. It also explains why, when inventories of the music libraries of Canadian radio stations of the period are studied, the earliest decacide in most libraries was the Weavers' Goodnight Irene, dating from 1950. 192 congresspeople are now supporting the alternate resolution, H.R. 49 in the House of Representatives and S.R. 14 in the Senate, the Local Radio Freedom Act, which opposes such payment to record companies. Many of the supporters are noting the record company's history of corruption and exploitation of their performing artists. In 1983, Tracy Ullman had a number 8 Billboard Hot 100 chart hit record called They Don't Know. Ullman claims that she still hasn't seen a penny from MCA or Stiff Records for having sold that many copies of the single. The New York Assembly has approved the same-sex marriage bill introduced a few weeks back and has passed it on for Senate approval. Bronx Senator Ruben Diaz and his so-called Gang of Three have vowed to block marriage equality in New York on personal religious grounds. Overfishing may lead to the regional extinction of the common dolphin in Greece's Ionian Sea. World Wildlife Fund and a dozen other environmental organizations are warning that dark gray white-bellied dolphins have dropped in numbers in that sea from 150 to 15 in the last 10 years. The groups are asking Greece to take measures ranging from the adoption of larger mesh size for all bottom-set nets, restrictions on trawling and on recreational fishing, as well as stronger penalties for illegal fishing. The common dolphin population in the Ionian are one of the very last in the Mediterranean Sea. And today's obits include Bill Kelso, the 1960s pitcher for the California Angels and Cincinnati Reds, who switched to scouting for 3 decades for the Angels, Phillies, and Astros in North Kansas City, his hometown, at the age of 69. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one thing more today. A legally blind Adelaide man who just won the $2 million South Australian lottery says among the first things he's going to do with the winnings will be purchase a new set of eyeglasses. He claims that he only checked his ticket after hearing about a mystery winner on a radio broadcast who had bought the winning ticket at the same Seaford shop that he usually buys his at. The story had been in Adelaide's newspaper for a couple of days before the broadcast. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.